First in our Bill of Rights is the freedom to hear uncensored ideas and opinions, to think your own thoughts, and to say what's on your mind. We couldn't have liberty without it. Now, more than ever, it's good to spout off, to listen, debate, and participate. Here's your host of Spouting Off, commentator, columnist, and all-around rabble-rouser, Karen Cataline.
Well, good morning, good afternoon, good evening, whenever you're listening to Spouting Off. If you're listening live, it's 1 p.m. Eastern, 11 a.m. Mountain Time, and I'm feeling uncharacteristically mellow. If you know me at all, and I think you know me by the shows that I do here, you know that I'm not exactly a mellow person. And I just let it all hang out. I just say what I think, and I encourage you to say what you think, either to me on this show, live, if you're listening, live, 603-816-1590, or to the people you know and love in your own life, in your own sphere of influence. Saying what's on your mind is its own best reward. Yes, there are ways to say things, but as you know, I'm quite passionate about people saying truly what's on their mind, allowing the chips to fall where they may, and everyone learning about disagreement, differences of opinion, and individuality, which enables all of us to accept and even tolerate, parentheses, that which the left refuses to tolerate, differences, individual differences and different points of view. It's what makes life and interacting with people so darn fascinating. So why am I mellow? It doesn't last all that long. But while I was doing the typical show prep that I do for this show, I was multitasking, shouldn't do that, but so many of us do, and listening to one of the all-time great concert pianists, Marta Argerichs. She spells it in English. You would pronounce it Martha Argerich. She is an Argentinian concert pianist, now 81 years old, still concertizing. One of the most amazing careers. I grew up on classical music. Matter of fact, not that this is apropos of anything, I used to be a classical music radio announcer. I wouldn't say I was the very, very best at it, but it was a dream I always had, and that was to be an announcer for classical music, and I got to do that in my hometown of Denver many moons ago. So Marta Argerichs has tons of beautiful, gorgeous videos, some of them just audios of her just, what is the word? I was going to say playing the hell out of some of the greatest piano concertos and piano classical music ever. The kind of home I grew up in, yes, and I do have a point here, but it does fit with what I'm thinking. Kind of home I grew up in, especially since my brother played the piano exquisitely and even went to Juilliard, was to have arguments at the dinner table as to who was the greater concert pianist, Vladimir Horowitz or Rubinstein. So those were the kind of discussions I had. While other people were listening to rock music, I was listening to Mendelssohn and Beethoven and all of that. I got into the rock music much later in the 80s, and now I appreciate it a lot more than I did then. Anyway, it got me thinking, and by the way, Martha Argerich's story is a beautiful and astonishing one. She was a prodigy and played the Beethoven Piano Concerto No. 1 with an orchestra, with a symphony orchestra, when she was, sitting down 8 years old. And the way she plays today is just boggles the mind. And there are a fair number of concert pianists out there. I personally don't like the ones that think they have to sexualize even concert piano music and have to wear extremely racy costumes, which to me, let your playing speak for you. There are some now that wear mini skirts and sequins and can hardly even fit. It's like their costumes were painted on. No, I'm not a prude. Anyway, as I listen and watch some of the great videos of Martha Argerich, and by the way, I posted a few of them on my Twitter page at KarenCataline.com. I would love to connect with you there or via email, Karen@KarenCataline.com. I posted a couple of them because usually all I do is post politics. And I got to thinking, as sometimes it is depressing and disturbing about the level of evil, the level of deception, the level of lies and propaganda and gaslighting we are watching every day on a regular basis. And guess what? You and anyone else are allowed to disagree with me. You may think that all of that is ridiculous and I'm wrong. But for those who agree and and see it, because we know there are millions and millions who know that things aren't right in America, I got to thinking about how we have a front row seat for the very best of people, like the phenomenal things that they can create, the joy that they can bring to people with their talent, the conscientiousness with which they approach the smallest, simplest of things in order to do the best job that they can. People who are not full of themselves and hypocritical, who know that they can learn but still offer the best of themselves. I don't know Martha Argerich personally, but she impresses and touches me deeply with what she shares and the talent that God gave her. That's the very best of people. And we're also watching the very worst, as mentioned before. Deception, a disrespect for human life, the kind of lies that say that it is perfectly okay to rob people of their freedoms and their liberty, their God-given liberty, because it is somehow for their own good. The media, which is marching in lockstep to false narratives that most everyday people know are preposterous and ridiculous, and yet we are being expected to either accept it or go along with it and keep our mouths shut. That is, it wears on you to watch a very noisy, loud cult of people who tell you that the Southern Poverty Law Center, for example, is the final arbiter of what is and isn't racist, even though they themselves are racist and bigoted towards anybody who has a point of view that departs from the radical leftist ideology. It is preposterous that there are people who would defend mastectomies for 9-year-olds. You may see on my Twitter page a tweet by Ron DeSantis, and I dearly hope that we're not headed towards a DeSantis versus Trump bloodbath, because that, I don't think at this juncture it's going to do anyone any good. But nevertheless, I am appreciating absolutely Ron DeSantis's taking on the insanity and simply telling the truth. Now, in the case that I'm referring to, you have Ron DeSantis taking on the presidential potted plant and that is Joe Biden himself, who gave an interview. Let me see if I can find it. I can't quote it verbatim, but it was so preposterous because, you know, he's not conscious, let alone principled. And he never really was. I mean, he's an old plagiarist, for heaven's sake. Now he's president of the United States. If we were living in a normal world, he would be disqualified from being president of the United States. Anyway, so there's a video, and I posted this just so you can get a hold of it here. Just go to at KarenKataline.com on Twitter. It says under the heading, wow, just imagine the times we're living in when these truths are no longer self-evident. DeSantis goes there. This is the article I'm posting. Shows graphic video of the effects of, quote, gender-affirming surgery. He did this in response to Joe Biden taking on the state of Florida and saying how cruel it was and sinful. You see, I'm no longer mellow. Sinful to not support or to ban, here's always the shorthand, quote, gender-affirming surgery. Gender-affirming surgery? That we're living in Orwellian times. Gender-affirming surgery is mastectomies for nine-year-olds. It's puberty blockers for grade schoolers, for pre-adolescent girls and boys who have not reached the age of consent. And yet they're supporting taxpayered, tax-supported maiming of children with drugs and surgery. Can you imagine 5 years ago, 10 years ago and longer, anybody defending this? And so what does Ron DeSantis say? He says, very simply, it is not sinful to prohibit the mutilation of minors. And so with that simple sentence, he's saying, you know what? We're not going to let you gaslight us. We're not going to let you hijack the conversation and hijack reality. And guess what? People are allowed to disagree, hopefully without being called a domestic terrorist for doing so. Oh my heavens, the very best and the very worst of people are on display in these times. We're going to take a quick break and get the show started with our guest. Don't go away. You're listening to Spouting Off.
You're listening to Spouting Off with Karen Kataline.
Hello, I'm Mike Lindell, inventor of MyPillow. Thanks to your support, you've helped make MyPillow become one of the fastest growing companies in America. Over the last 12 years, you've helped MyPillow create thousands of jobs right here in the USA. Every MyPillow is made with passion here in my home state of Minnesota to ensure you get the best sleep of your life.
One of the things that I really like about MyPillow is the support. It gives my neck a little hug.
I've never slept better in my life. What's better than a great night's sleep?
Call or go online to take advantage of my best offer ever. For a limited time, when you use your promo code, you can get premium MyPillows regularly $69.98, now only $29.98. With our 60-day money-back guarantee, you have nothing to lose.
Sleep well, America!
Call 1-800-867-0416 and use the promo code RAM, R-A-M. That's 1-800-867-0416 and use the promo code RAM.
For the best night's sleep in the whole wide world, visit MyPillow.com.
Put a frog in a pot of boiling water and it'll jump right out. But put a frog in a pot of cool water and slowly heat it up, that frog will boil. As a metaphor for us and all that we go through as veterans, it's a story that rings true. We learn to endure the heat in silence. We apply what we learn to life, the bills, the job, the family, things we're expected to handle with ease. When life heats up around us, we just try to stay afloat. We let the water boil. Reaching out isn't easy, but you've never been interested in easy. You join because you are not afraid of hard work. You are not a frog. If you or a veteran you know needs support, Don't wait until the water boils. Reach out. Find resources at va.gov/reach. That's va.gov/reach. Brought to you by the United States Department of Veterans Affairs and the Ad Council.
Spouting Off with Karen Cataline will return in a moment.
The Reading Foundation provides evaluation and tutorial programs based upon the Orton-Gillingham philosophy of learning, based upon the study of language, how children acquire language, and the mechanisms involved in learning. All the learning pathways of the brain, visual, auditory, kinesthetic, and tactile, are addressed and strengthened to build a strong foundation for the acquisition of reading skills. If you are interested in learning more, please contact the Reading Foundation for more information. The Reading Foundation is at 10 Northern Boulevard, Unit 19, Amherst, New Hampshire, 03031. Or you can email us at readingfoundation_rf@yahoo.com. And of course, you can call anytime at 603-882-0992. The Reading Foundation, Amherst, New Hampshire.
Karen Cataline puts the Judeo in Judeo-Christian. Now back to Spouting Off.
Everyone to Spouting Off here on our flagship station of 1590 AM WSMN and 95.3 FM, both on WSMN in the live free or die state of New Hampshire. Well, it's so neat that we have a guest on the line, and it's apropos of the monologue I just gave about the very best and the very worst of people, and how do you keep mentally healthy without just lying to yourself? And it's one thing to have ignorance is bliss. It's another to find some bliss when you know that things aren't exactly hunky-dory right now in America. Here to talk about that and much more is Justin Barclay. Justin Barclay is a talk show host, frequent guest host for the nationally syndicated program Glenn Beck, who does some great work, heard on 300 radio stations coast to coast. Today, Justin engages guests and listeners in lively conversations about national and local topics. He has won multiple awards for broadcasting excellence from the Michigan Association of Broadcasters, and he's honored to continue serving the community on and off of the legendary airwaves of Wood Radio. Justin, welcome to Spouting Off. So good to have you on our program.
Karen, it's great to be here. Oh my gosh, I absolutely love it. I love your program. I love the name. I am ready to spout off.
Yes, and that's a positive thing. You know, it's so funny. It's like I'm really on the same page with you and your topic, because I've been on a quest not only to talk about good news, not just phony good news and goody two-shoes good news, but how we tolerate the true evil that we are watching, and how do we keep ourselves going while not lying to ourselves. And you write, or at least the pitch I was given, and then I'm just going to let you go to town because I can't wait to hear what you have to say about this. There's something desperately missing in today's feed: good news. Well, that's because there isn't a lot of good news. We look for it. And when it feels like the world is in constant chaos and evil prevails, how do you even cope? Let's find out what Justin Barclay thinks about that.
Well, Karen, I got to tell you, right. I mean, really, the reason why I wrote this book is, and I was coming in 2020, I think we all were, out of a time when folks were hit with everything that was happening in the world, but then an election that didn't necessarily seem to go the way they'd like to see it. And, you know, I'm talking to my audience on a daily basis about these things like you are, and I know you feel it. There's a heaviness to some of the things. It's today, it's like drinking from a fire hose. How fast things are moving, and not just the speed, but the enormity of it all. It's hard to cope with. It's really hard to deal with. And I don't know about you, but I mean, sometimes you just want to turn it all off. And I occasionally have those days.
Not a bad idea. Sometimes.
Yeah, and sometimes I want to go turn it all. Like, I literally just want to go live in a cabin in the middle of the woods somewhere.
Yes, you know? I can relate. I can relate. Let me just stop for a minute because I was neglectful in not mentioning your book, which is also an Audible book called Good News. Isn't that right? It's an Audible book you can find on Amazon. And I love the subtitle, Hope and Encouragement for Trying Times. Boy, we need all the help and hope and encouragement we can get. So go ahead.
Isn't that the truth? When I was going through that time during 2020, talking with the audience, I had a lot of people that were just feeling hopeless and helpless, and I can certainly understand that. I was in the same, the middle of the same very same things they were. In fact, we had a bigger challenge ourselves personally. Our daughter, our first daughter, was born at 27 weeks. And she was born, some say a little early. I think God had the perfect timing. She was absolutely perfect. There was nothing wrong with her. She just needed some more time to continue being knitted together there in front of our very eyes. This whole thing, by the way, we spent 77 days in the hospital. From the day my wife's water broke, the day we brought our daughter home, we spent 77 days in the hospital. So we were in a constant state, like a survival mode. And yet, even through it all, we just felt God's presence. We felt this sort of the hand of God there that gave us this peace that is beyond understanding. It's written, yeah, peace beyond understanding, but I can tell you, I really felt it. There's no other way to describe it. In the midst of the chaos, the calm that was there for us, and I wanted to help bring that to other people by sharing not just the good news, but the good news. And I found that one of the things that really helped me, even as I was going through what we were going through as a family then, was focusing on the good things. Now, I don't mean to put your head in the sand like an ostrich, because that would be the wrong thing to do these days. There's so many things happening right now. You certainly don't want to ignore. That would not be wise. That would not be prudent to ignore some of the very serious things that are happening. But I do believe there is a line to draw a distinction where we don't want to cross. We want to make sure that we understand that, yeah, things are, they are bad. And people ask me, they would ask me during this entire time, what do you think is going to happen here? What do you think is going to happen there? My answer was always the same. And this is just from my faith, but my perspective was, I don't know. But what I do know is that God is still on the throne. And you're not alone, by the way. We also feel like we're hopeless, we're helpless, and that we're isolated. But Karen, the truth is that not only are you not alone, there are more of us out there. I think we're meant to feel isolated, particularly in that time. But I also believe that part of this feeling of hopelessness and helplessness, I think there are people that want us to feel that way, that there's nothing we can do. And I'll tell you, there are many things that we can do right where we are each day. In fact, listening to this very program, coming together, you're able to tune in. You may not have your own program like Karen or I, but you're able to tune in and be a part of this this group of people, this community that are coming together, talking about the things that matter. This is one simple thing. If you want some more, you can share this program with other people. You can tell people about the things that you hear on this program. And I guarantee you that this audience will continue to grow as it has. And people are going to be blessed by that because they're going to have other options, other places they can turn to hear the stories and the things that are going to make their days, I think, a little brighter.
Let's delve a little bit deeper here, because we Well, I do talk about God, and you may hear my bumper that says I put the Judeo in Judeo-Christian. We hopefully, as strongly as conservatives, believe in religious pluralism. And there are many. What do you say to people who aren't particularly religious? They don't want to be proselytized to, and yet they share our fear of what's happening to our country, and they're scared about the signs that they see with this march towards Marxism and tyranny, things that they really can do nothing about, or I won't say can do nothing about. I will say that it's easy to feel helpless because you're just one person and there are things happening that we have very little control over. On the other hand, you know, we do what we can, but we have to admit that there are certain things we cannot ourselves control. What do you say to those people who really want and need some kind of wisdom in all of this?
Well, it's impossible for me to separate my faith from who I am. So I can't say, you know, to me, having to go through everything I've gone through, and particularly the past several years and where I am right now, I just can't imagine what it would be like and how things would appear for me. But what I can tell you for you is that I do believe
well,
God
for
has
our
a plan.
Listeners anyway
yeah,
for our listeners
because sure,
we
sure.
we have a broad kind of listenership, I think. So go ahead.
I believe God has a plan, and here's the best part. I believe you're part of it. So whether you believe or not, it doesn't matter, because you are part of the plan of this nation. If we go back to the founders, we the people are the ones who are not only putting this whole experiment, the first time it ever really been done in the history of the world, the way it has been done, and what a successful experiment it's been. If you look at the surface right now, it can definitely look like we're in some dark days. But, you know, you are still the solution. And ultimately, I believe, you know, God is the solution. But you are a part of that. So everything that we see happening around us only happens because, unfortunately, and this is just the way it works, but Karen, we get the government we deserve.
What if they force themselves on us? Do we deserve that? What if they force their will on us and globalists all over telling us, the wealthiest people in the world are telling us that we will own nothing and be happy, and they'll own everything, obviously. I don't know if we deserve that. I don't know if conservatives who've worked their whole lives, including veterans who've fought for this country and for our liberty, deserve it. But then I'm just feeling ornery.
We're unfortunately in this position. No, you're right. They don't deserve it. But unfortunately, we're in this position because a lot of people have sort of abdicated their authority in our situation, in our system, the way of government here in the United States. And a lot of this happened over time. So I'm not convinced we're going to fix everything overnight. But you're talking about, you know, decades worth of work behind the scenes that's gone into tearing down every bit of institution, everything that made this country great. And of course, public education, playing a big role in that, the infiltration of every bit of government. We're seeing it now, right now as we stand, in the alphabet agencies in the federal government. We're hearing about all of these different things. Ultimately, we're the solution. And we've got to start right where we are in our own background. I'll give you a great example. Where I'm at in West Michigan, there's a county called Ottawa County. These parents got so upset at school board meetings that their kids were made to mask up. And they came, the county health department came to shut down one of the private Christian schools. They came to put chains on the doors during the pandemic. So the parents stood up. They fought that. They filed lawsuits eventually as they went to the county commissioner meetings. They fought back, thousands showing up, and the county commissioners, many of them Republican at those meetings, they shut the meetings down. They didn't want to hear what some of these parents had to say. Do you know that those parents formed their own group called Ottawa Impact? They got together and they went throughout the community finding people that would run. They primaried the incumbents and they swept the board, and now they are in charge in Ottawa County. Now it's going to be a fight to continue to keep that power, but they have, as individuals, moms, dads, people in the community, grandparents, stood up and said, I'm going to do what I can where I'm at. And that could be running for office where you're at. It could be just going to school board meetings or county commission meetings. It could be becoming precinct delegates, all these different things that people can do. We, each one of us, have something we can do where we are. And if you're a person of faith, I would ask God, what is that? If you're not, spend some time thinking about that. I believe you will get that inspiration to be able to stand and fight where you are.
Thank you. We have only a couple minutes, and I would say this, that the very fact that the people that you described so beautifully were effective is exactly the very fact that they are being targeted, being called terrorists, being shut down, shut up, and everything else in a country with the great tradition of freedom of speech in this country, means that this is what they don't want people to do. You can turn it upside down and you say, this is what they don't. They find people of faith among the most threatening. Marxists always do, because they don't want any competition with God. That being said, tell everybody how they can find your wonderful book, Good News, and anything else you want to plug while we're at it, okay?
Yeah, absolutely. No, thank you. Justin Barclay, B-A-R-C-L-A-Y, justinbarclay.com is my website. A lot of information there, podcasts, shows you can watch. I do a live stream every day where we talk about the news in the morning. And, of course, the book is available there. I'd love to sign it and send it to you. You can get 10% off right now, 10% off for the big guy when you use coupon code big guy.
The big guy?
Just don't tell Uncle Joe about that.
The big guy? You mean, yeah. You mean the big guy's going to get a cut of this?
No. I'm giving you his 10%.
Oh, God, I'm so glad you clarified that. Justin Barclay, author of Good News. You can find it on Amazon. You can find it at his website as well. Thank you. Such a pleasure to talk to you. And keep up the great work.
Thank you. You too, Karen. God bless.
Thanks. God bless. Well, we're going to have our weekly session with a reporter from the Epoch Times. You won't want to miss this. I'll tell you about him when we come back. You're listening to Spouting Off.
You're listening to Spouting Off with Karen Cataline.
We are being censored. America's news outlets no longer provide the truth. 90% of news outlets in the United States are controlled by 6 corporations. They're not out to tell you the truth of what's happening. They're out to tell you the picture of the world that they represent. The mission of the Epoch Times is to chase the truth, to ground all statements in facts, and prevent people from being misled. The Epoch Times is independent. We're not controlled by any special interest, and we never will be. This is a battle. A battle between truth and deceit. A battle between forces that would ensnare this country in ignorance and between a media that wants to present you with the truth. Subscribe today to our digital edition at theepochtimes.com and join the Americans who are seeking truth and tradition. Read the difference on all your devices. We'd love to have you on board.
Are you tired of the same old snacks? Looking for something a little healthier than that bag of chips or candy bar? Even your average bag of trail mix these days is little more than peanuts, raisins, and candy-coated chocolate. Not very healthy, is it? Allow me to introduce you to White Mountain Munchies. Made from 100% all-natural ingredients, White Mountain Munchies combines unique flavors with nutritional value that will tingle your taste buds and strengthen and sustain your overall health and wellness. Eating good never tasted so good. From Maggie's Maple Madness to Hannah's Heavenly Harvest, Grayson's Getaway Goodies, and our limited edition Christmas blend, Jacoby's Jolly Jumble, White Mountain Munchies offers nutritious and delicious snacks that the whole family is sure to love. Pick yours up now through our easy-to-use online store at whitemountainmunchies.com. White Mountain Munchies, non-GMO when you're on the go.
Outdoor Almanac, brought to you by New Hampshire Fish and Game's Wildlife Journal.
Looking for the antlers that deer shed every year has become a popular pastime. Deer start dropping antlers in January, but for some, the process may take until February or March. In the spring, the antlers grow back again. According to deer experts, the loss of antlers causes the buck no pain. It's been likened to leaves just falling off a tree. So where do you begin to look for sheds? Unfortunately, there's no easy answer. Usually, deer yard up in protected areas like hemlock stands to keep the snow and cold away. But so far this winter, the deer have moved around pretty much wherever they want because of the lack of snow. So if it were me, I'd try fresh trails or fences that they may have jumped. And if you don't find any, well, you had a nice walk. And come spring, the mice and squirrels will find the sheds and chew on them to get their calcium fix. So if you look at it that way, shed hunting is a win-win.
Outdoor Almanac is brought to you by New Hampshire Fish and Game's Wildlife Journal, the magazine for people with outside interests.
Spouting Off with Karen Cataline will return in a moment.
Since 1930, United Way of Greater Nashua has been your trusted partner to fight for the health, education, and financial stability of every person in every community. When a low-income child needs access to dental care, or parents need quality after-school programs where their kids can learn and be safe, United Way is there. When a person with disabilities needs a supportive day program where they can thrive, or a family loses its home and needs a place to regain financial stability, United Way is there. When a homebound senior needs food and supportive social connections, or when it comes time to die with dignity, United Way is there. The programs supported by your United Way are the heart and soul of Greater Nashua. When you volunteer or donate to United Way, you lift up the community where you live and you work. As a highly regarded nonprofit with Charity Navigator and GuideStar, you can be sure that your donations will be used for the work of making Greater Nashua stronger, smarter, and safer. Learn more and connect with us at unitedwaynashua.org.
Sign up for Karen's newsletter and read her columns at karencataline.com. Now back to Spouting Off with Karen Cataline.
Back, everyone, to Spouting Off. I always look forward to this weekly segment because we get to have a different reporter from the Epoch Times every week, and we never know who we're going to get, but we always know that they are on top of the stories that really matter here and abroad. Today, we have with us someone we had just a little while ago, and just a fascinating interview. Nathan Ornan Sue is a writer for the Epoch Times since 2018. He is a specialist in politics in the People's Republic of China, otherwise known as the CCP. And we're going to get some fascinating insights from him. Nan, thank you so much for joining us here on Spouting Off.
Oh, thank you, Karen, for having me today. Now, CCP means the Chinese Communist Party. China is China, Chinese Communist Party. It's the ruling party, the dictating ruling power in China.
Right. So, you know, a lot of people in America are very... where you have trouble sometimes with people staying up with everything that's going on in America, especially since so much of it is egregious to our Constitution, politics in China seems a great mystery. And yet it's more relevant to us than ever before because of the virus, because of an encroachment the world is getting smaller, and yet people are more overwhelmed by it. I see a lot of stories that you write here about China. I would like you to decide which one you think is especially pertinent so that you can unpack that for the average American listener and help us understand what we need to understand about China and China politics that we probably don't know.
Okay. Now, Congress, our Congress, both Congress and Senate just passed a bill that's going to investigate the origin of COVID. Did you hear that?
Yeah.
I think that, first of all, I don't think they're going to finally get any result until the collapse of the Communist Party. But we absolutely need to conduct this investigation. Now, there is something called common sense that, you know, I will ask every American. Yeah, I will ask an American to understand what's the common sense. Just look at the timeline, okay? Just look at the timeline of what happened before and at the beginning of the COVID, and we know what it's the origin. Now, here is a timeline, very simple. In December of 2019, Wuhan Institute of Virology actually published an article on Nature Science, a very, you know, powerful, famous international scientific journal. And it's talking about their, you know, research on COVID virus. That's December. Now, at the end of December 2019, December 30th exactly, there's eight Chinese doctors in Wuhan City. At the same day, they send out their message from their private social media platform to try to warn their friends, relatives, there is a possible outbreak of SARS. You know, they didn't know this is COVID. They because China back in 2003 had a SARS outbreak, so they tried to warn their friends and relatives there's a possible another outbreak of SARS. Within 24 hours, all eight doctors arrested, and the Wuhan City police officer forced all of them sign an agreement, admit they are spreading rumors, and force them to make promise they're not going to do it again. So that's, you know, and why they're sending all this, sending out this message is because back in December, you know, Wuhan City CDC is conducting conducted an investigation trying to identify the reason of unknown reason pneumonia. Okay, so back in December they already know there's something going on now, but they January 20th, the China's CDC still come up with a conclusion saying that COVID is something that with low possibility to be transferred from one person to another person. Okay, so that's January 20th. And January 21st, that's still before the lockdown of city of Wuhan. January 24th, something outstanding we everyone need to remember. On January 21st of 2020, Wuhan City, Wuhan Institute of Virology actually filed a patent application using an American medicine named Remdesivir to treat corona.
Remdesivir.
Patients. Yeah.
Remdesivir?
Yeah.
The one that kills Remdesivir. People?
Remdesivir.
Yeah.
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 Yeah. It's a medicine invented by American drug company called Gilead Science. Was not invented to treat coronavirus, but they claimed the patent because they actually successfully used that medicine to treat coronavirus patients.
So
they're supposed to know how dangerous the coronavirus is if they are already able to treat it, right?
It's a good point. It's a really good point. You know, let me just go back to something, because if we go down this road, which is so important, and I apologize, you said something that made me go, oh my God, I got to ask him about this. At the very beginning of this conversation, Nansu, you said we're really not going to know until the Chinese Communist Party collapses. Now, this is a really tough question, but you have more experience and knowledge about this, and we are on the road to communism in this country. What would be the way that it would hasten the collapse of the Communist Party? Because that would free millions of people right there. Is there an answer that you can think of? And it doesn't have to be absolutist, because there is
Well, first of all, I will try not to compare whatever is going on in American politics with China, because that, number one, that actually beautified the Chinese communist regime. And whatever's happening here in the United States, you go to China, that's like a 10,000 times worse. It's a totally different scale. Now, I think that we
don't want to go down that scale. That is for sure.
That's right.
Yes.
Well, I think the one thing is for Americans, we need to truly be aware of the war that's approaching us. You know, national security. It's the number one thing that we all need to be aware of if we don't want to see our children and grandchildren become the slave of CCP. So I think that that's one thing that we all need to really pay attention and have raise our awareness of the level of threat from the Chinese communist regime.
As you know, the Chinese communist regime, I didn't say that very well, I said it like Joe Biden, what are the things that could? I mean, none of us here are government officials. None of us have the power or the ability, I certainly don't, to do that. But what do you see would hasten at least slowing down or even collapsing communism in China that poses such a threat?
Well, I think that if you pay attention to our publication to read about everything that's taking place every day in China, you will see clear danger, you know, of that kind of a system to our children and grandchildren. You
know,
we
talk
about
it.
Yeah, we talk about the human rights issues in China. Yeah. We talk about the religion, how, you know, religious freedoms are being suppressed in China.
Persecuted. And yet we had a former Speaker of the House in the United States Congress tell us that the government of China was to be emulated. She spoke lovingly and admiringly of the Communist Chinese Party, and that was Nancy Pelosi saying what a great government it is, and there are people in this country who think we ought to emulate it because they don't read the Epoch Times, right? They just don't read it. I do have a quick question also about, for a while we were hearing about an enormous amount of death going on in China because of the lockdowns and that they couldn't keep up with it all. Do you have an update on that?
Well, it seems like the COVID cases in China right now, it's slowing down. They probably got like, 70-80% of people infected because their vaccine it's not effective at all. So basically, we'll never know the true number, how many people die. I mean, if you look at China's central CDC, I mean, during the entire time of COVID, China only have less than 90,000 people die because of the COVID. You know, you can't trust that number. So, but what's the true number? We'll never know. But the total case of infected patients has been coming down because they got major portion of the population already. Pretty much everyone infected. Everyone got it at least once.
That's pretty contrary to what we were hearing just a couple months ago, where they said that there was an enormous amount of death because the party decided to, they said they wanted a zero COVID tolerance, and they locked everybody up again, which tyrants are able to do. So was that a lie?
Yeah, that's, you know, that the zero COVID policy, it's been there for almost 3 years, by the December 8th of last year. And then All of a sudden, they went from zero COVID policy to zero non-COVID policy. They want they want a zero people population not infected. Yeah. That's what it is, because after 3 years of lockdown, the communist regime realized, you know, that if they continuously doing so, their economy will face a total collapse.
Isn't it horrible that the people that are the most incompetent, who can change their ideas on a whim, and that happens in the United States too, seem to have an inordinate amount of power? Nobody holds them accountable to the mistakes that they make. That's what tyranny is all about, isn't it?
It's true. But that's what they do. I mean, the reason they had a zero COVID policy for all 3 years, they realized that's a wrong policy, you know, early on. Comparing with the policies in the United States, in the Western world, all around the world, they only know. But the problem is they put their feet into their mouths. So, because in the 2020s, you know, the first several months of 2020s, seeing that all the Western world, you know, getting a lot of infected cases. So the Chinese propaganda machine, they really trying to use the total infected cases in the Western world, comparing with China's total infected cases.
Honor is a big deal in in the Oriental countries. Honor is everything.
Well, it's specifically important to the Chinese communist regime, right? The communist regime, it's always, they're always the
reputation,
the greatest, the most glorious.
Yeah. It's so fascinating to talk to you. I wish we had more time. Tell everybody your byline over there at Epoch Times. Just look up Non or Nathan Sue. That's your shorthand name, right? Non? But it's Nathan
Sue. All our publications are available online, Epoch Times or Epic Times,
EPOCHTimes.com. We so appreciate you. You have such great insight and knowledge, and we love having reporters from the Epoch Times join us. Take care and keep up the great work. We appreciate
it. Thank you, Karen, for having me today.
Oh, my pleasure, really. Well, that wraps it for today. Tune in tomorrow, Friday, for our last show of the week. Karen Cataline, keep on spouting off. We'll be back tomorrow at 1 p.m. Eastern.